clamour of the excited spectators gradually fades behind you as you venture deep into the gloom of the cavern tunnel. Large crystals hang from the tunnel roof at 20-metre intervals, radiating a soft light, just enough for you to see your way. As your eyes gradually become accustomed to the near darkness, you begin to see movement all around. Spiders and beetles crawling up and down the chiseled walls disappear quickly into cracks and crevices as they sense your approach. Rats and mice scurry along the floor ahead of you. Droplets of water drip into small pools with an eerie plopping sound, which echoes down the tunnel. The air is cold, moist, and dank. After walking slowly along the tunnel for about 5 minutes, you arrive at a stone table standing against the wall to your left. On it there are 6 boxes, one of which has your name printed on its lid. If you wish to open the box, turn to 270. If you prefer to continue walking north, turn to 66.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I hope you were sitting comfortably.
It was exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was reminiscent of a time gone by.
Do you know how much time has gone by?
I don't know. Is it about 100 years?
It's not quite as much as that. 30 years this week.
That's... that's not even... that's more than half my life.
Yeah, I know. Even for you, that's more than half your life.
But it just goes to show how long ago these things were out, and these were sort of parts of our child... well, they were parts of my childhood, definitely.
Oh, yeah, mine as well. I was 40. I was 14.
I was 20.
Yeah, that you were hardly a child.
22.
You were like 21. An adult and stuff. Did you have any children by then?
No, I didn't. Not that I knew of, anyway.
So I suppose we ought to explain what we're talking about.
We're talking about fighting fantasy books and their ilk.
Yes, the choose-your-own-adventure path.
All you need is a bit of a pencil and a dice six, usually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the book.
And a rubber, because you needed to cheat a bit. Oh, no, you never cheated playing them, did you?
Well, I never did, which is why I never finished it. So that was Death Trap Dungeon. That was the first paragraph of Death Trap Dungeon that we heard before Conrad brought us in.
I don't think I ever played Death Trap.
Death Trap Dungeon?
No. I did do Firetop Mountain one.
Warlock of Firetop Mountain. Yeah. You see, my friend John was the person who introduced me to this. He was a year older than me. So this is the 80s. We're back in time when music was great.
Too shy to shy.
Hush, hush, do I? So we are back in the 80s. So in 82, see, I've done research and everything.
Go on then.
So in 1982, they published Warlock of Firetop Mountain, and my friend John had a copy, and we used to play it. And I didn't have a copy of Warlock Firetop Mountain. I had the second one, which was called Citadel of Chaos.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we used to, you know, swap books. And I finished those two. But for me, it was Death Trap Dungeon that really kicked the whole thing off, because it was a classic dungeon crawl. Probably before there were classic dungeon
crawls. Did you say you had the Citadel of Chaos?
Citadel of Chaos.
Yeah, that was the second one.
That was the second one. They were Warlock came out first, and then
so that was by Steve Jackson and Ian Livingstone.
Yes. Yeah, well, I suppose we ought to say who that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Steve Jackson and Ian Livingstone, names in UK gaming history to conjure with, really.
Mm-hmm.
Not Steve Jackson of Car Wars fame.
American Steve Jackson.
Though weirdly, he did go on to write some later on. which was a different Steve Jackson. But no, this is Steve Jackson and Ian Livingstone, founders of some little game company. What's it called?
Games Workshop.
That's it. Whatever happened to them?
They're still going, apparently.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. And then that Ian Livingstone bloke went on to do some computer game company.
Yep.
What was he called? I do know. I'm just, like, dramatic tension.
Lionhead.
He did Eidos first.
Oh, yeah, he did Eidos, because he did that great big sort of game where you had to... It was like a lottery ticket type thing. There was whoever sort of finished the game first won a prize fund of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But slightly more importantly for the effects on modern culture, they did Tomb Raider.
Yep.
You know. So, Pantheons, pillars of the UK gaming establishment. And they created these fighting fantasy game books. Which were certainly my... I played them before I played RPGs. I mean, as I say, I was 12 when Warlock came out. And I didn't start playing Dungeons & Dragons until I was about 14.
I was already gaming by then. These were something that was lacking in that time. And they are still very good for doing that. And essentially that is, what do you do when you're on your own? And then you've got no mates around to play games with. You need
now, to be fair, most 14-year-old males don't need to know. They don't need a Warlock of Fartop Mountain to help them out with what do they do.
This is true. But if you're a gamer as well, apart from those things, you think, what can I do solo-wise? And, you know, there's obviously the hobby, but sometimes that just gets too much. So let's play a game. How can we play a game on my own? And these were perfect for that sort of gap in the market, as it were.
They were, and they were amazing. I mean, they had a real, real profound effect on me because they were popular. And so it wasn't bad to be seen to have one of these in your school bag. But by seeing who had them in their school bag, you knew who the other gamers were.
Yep.
And who the people that you could go, do you have a D8? To, and they wouldn't, like, just punch you in the head.
As you pronounced your geekness.
Yes, as you went, hello, I am quite sad. And they didn't abuse you.
Yeah. Well, what publications have you got in your bag? It's a fighting fantasy novel. But they spawned others, didn't they?
Oh, they spawned masses. Yeah. The White Wolf series is the other one that I remember.
That's the Gary Chalk one, isn't it?
That was Gary Chalk, yeah.
So that's... I did Lone Wolf by Joe Deaver and Gary Chalk. And I remember getting that, and I still got it. It's a big hardback book, and I really enjoyed it as well. But definitely it spawned many, many sort of offshoots, the idea behind it. Again, all sort of dungeon crawls, either indoors or outdoors, essentially, but same principle, pencil and D6.
Yeah, and Ian Livingston has been tweeting this past week some pictures of how they designed them. And they're incredibly complicated. I remember as a youth trying to write my own. And I had an exercise book. And I went through the exercise book and I numbered everything up from 1 to 400. And then I would write a paragraph and have the choices. And then I would go and write those paragraphs on those three choices. And I never finished it because it just collapsed under its own weight as you went, I've got to go there. Oh no, I've already gone there from there. Oh my God, what have I done? And then I had a second go where I persuaded my parents to buy...
A computer?
No, I didn't have a computer yet.
A whiteboard?
No, don't be silly. No, I persuaded them to buy some of those 3x4 index cards that you used to get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. From Smiths, something like that.
Yes, in fact, they were from Smiths. And I used that to do it. And again, it all collapsed under its weight because, you know, I didn't have the nous to think, why don't I just draw this big map and have all the connecting lines to it, and then I can do it.
Is that how they essentially designed
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so basically it's just a massive flowchart.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking of a tree diagram of some sort, you know?
Yeah, and many in the one that Ian Livingston has been tweeting this week, many, many paths lead to the lair of the Blood Beast, which is the big bad in Death Trap Dungeon. And apparently it's quite hard to kill the Blood Beast, and apparently it was much harder to do when he took this picture because its stats were much higher. But then they went on and they did other things. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember. See, this is definitely old person gaming talk. Do you remember Fist?
Yes, I do actually, but I can't remember much about it.
It was a telephone-based
yes,
game.
Yes, it was. Yes, yes. Yep.
But you had to have a punch button phone. Because you had to, you know, press 3 to go left, yep. Press 4 to go right. And we only had a rotary dial phone, so I wasn't able to, well, not that I'd have been allowed to play it anyway, because my old man used to frown upon using the telephone for anything other than doing, you know, emergency phone calls. Used to have a little book that you had to write down when you did your phoning.
It's strange because my dad I used to use the phone every now and then, and it would literally be for 2 minutes, and my dad would be shouting out in the background, minute, 2 minutes.
See, people don't understand it now,
yeah, exactly.
Do they? I mean,
right.
Where everyone's got a phone that's got the power of a computer in your hand. I mean,
but it was,
but yeah.
It was fighting fantasy on the telephone, essentially, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. I've wikied it. I must admit. So FIST stood for Fantasy Interactive Scenarios by Telephone,
and it was the first interactive telephone role playing game, also called a PBP, a play by phone.
There you go.
But yes, I do remember making the phone call, possibly without my parents' permission, and just having a go to see how it went. But I mean, what a great way of using a premium line phone number in this day and age to make money, basically, and cause headaches to parents.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Mind you, I don't think it would work when you've got, you know, some of the microtransaction games out there that kids sort of get involved in.
Bloody kids.
Yeah. The other type of fighting fantasy book that I got into at the time was by a company called Nova, and they were the Lost Worlds fighting fantasy combat book games.
I don't remember these.
And essentially, and what's really funny was I was talking to a friend of mine about these, and when I went to my dad's about a month or so ago, I found them. I thought I'd got rid of them, but I found them, and I've got about 10 of them. So essentially, they're a book of about 50, 60 pages with line drawings of your character doing various things. So jumping away, swinging low, swinging down, turning around, kicking. And it was a form of, basically, you have a duel using these books. So you have a character card with a set of actions and a page number to turn to. So you would tell your opponent, I'm going to thrust high. So he turned to the page corresponding on your character sheet to see what it looked like.
Right, okay.
And eventually, you know, you'd get a wounded and die. But it was a variation on the theme of things that were going on at that time. So there were other things where you were using books to sort of play games like this as well. But yeah, I've still got, what, I've got 3, 6, 9, 13 of them, varying from a lizard man to a skeleton to a dragon. A cold drake it is.
Well, this sounds like something that we need to try out at the next tournament.
I will be
for evening shenanigans.
I will be bringing them with me.
I must admit, I no longer have my fighting fantasy books. At some point, because I was younger, much younger, and I hadn't already accumulated the adult stuff that still follows me around, like all my CDs.
The other adult stuff, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have mine, but I did, because of the anniversary, I did go out and buy a paperback copy of Fighting Fantasy, and it doesn't have the original cover on it, because I wasn't prepared to pay the £40 for an original.
Now, I'm sure somewhere I've got a copy of Warlock, but I cannot find it. I'm sure I've got one lying around somewhere.
Now, I really want to know. So, do you think we should go north or open the box?
Hold on a minute.
Are you going to use a dice to decide?
Yeah.
Go on then, quick.
Open the box.
We're going to open the box, so we have to turn to 270. Turn to 270. The lid of the box lifts off easily. Inside, you find 2 gold pieces and a note written on a small piece of parchment addressed to you.
To me?
Addressed to you, yeah. After placing the gold in your pocket, thieving git, you read the message, which says, "Well done. At least you have the sense to stop and take advantage of the token aid given to you. Now I can advise you will need to find and use several items if you hope to pass triumphantly through my death trap dungeon. Signed, Suckermit." That's his name.
I'll share it. You can have one of the gold pieces.
Thanks. Memorize it. You see, you've memorized the advice on the note. Well, that's never going to work for you, is it? You tear it into tiny pieces and continue north along the tunnel. Turn to 66, which is where we would have gone if we'd gone north straight away. So, there you go. However, sometimes if you open the box, it has things in it.
Like
scorpions.
And gribblies.
Yes. And it goes, "The gribbly gets to strike first. You are poisoned. You are dead."
But it's funny how something like this lives with you, you know? It becomes part of that sort of psyche of you as a gamer.
Yeah. It merges in and it certainly affects you as your gaming life. You know, certainly once I was RPGing regularly, I spent many times with people where people would just basically try to recreate Death Trap Dungeon or Warlock of Fartop Mountain as an RPG setting.
I thought you were going to say that you spent many a time deciding whether to turn left or right or go north or open the box.
No. Of course, you could eat. It was also quite easy to cheat because you could just look at both paragraphs, read them, and then decide which one you wanted to do.
But that's part of that.
That's it.
Yeah, that's part of it as well. You know,
if you're going to cheat to do it, why are you bothering to do it?
Or eventually you die and you sort of go, okay, I'll go back to there and I'll go this way instead, sort of thing. Which is kind of cheating.
I knew people that would write down each paragraph choices so they could backtrack through them.
That's metering the Final Fantasy book.
It is really, isn't it? Still,
do you think there's cheap? Well, do you think there's websites out there for correct paths through Fighting Fantasy?
Oh, I bet there is. I bet there is. I haven't looked, but I bet there is. There is walkthroughs for Warlock of Firetop Mountain and stuff.
Fighting Fantasy book walkthrough live on Google solutions.
Which sort of defeats the object, really.
Do you imagine, you know, just imagine sometimes... just imagine doing a YouTube video.
Oh, dear.
Walkthrough for Citadel of Chaos.
You know, I know that the internet has given me a very nice career. But sometimes I just think that not having it there would put some of the mystery back.
Well, it looks as though, they make the Warlock of Firetop Mountain into a game?
Yeah, they did. Okay. They did, and they're supposed to be making some more. But I didn't think it worked quite as well on iOS as it did.
That would explain the 1 hour 41 YouTube video about the DS Fighting Fantasy walkthrough for Warlock of Firetop Mountain then.
Oh my god.
I think we better go now because we've everyone's probably going, God, they're so old.
How do we get out of here, Mike? Do we go north?
Well, we can turn left and go to page 53, or we can turn right and disappear up our own backsides.
Let's go to page 53. I think
that's probably a good idea.
I think I've been Mike.
No, you haven't.
I tried.
What, to be Mike?
Yeah.
You better go and eat some more pies then.
I've been Conrad.
Yeah, you probably have. And I've been Mike.
Goodbye.
And we'll speak to you next time. Bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter. We're at Fools_Daily or via email foolsdaily@outlook.com.